Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It is a, Wednesday today? Game one NBA Finals in the books, live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. All day today, 3 hours, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Nick Wright's on today, former Phoenix Sun Tom Chambers on today. Dana White, huge UFC fight this weekend, I'll be watching that. Take a little vacay with the kids. Joey Taylor, how are you?
I'm great. What a great game last night.
It was. I like watching the Suns. I think they're fun. Nothing against Milwaukee, but Milwaukee's an older team. You know what I mean? Like, Phoenix is new and fresh and, you know.
They got a little flair to them.
A little flair to them.
The fans definitely make it fun.
They do. It's nice. You know, I as I've told you many times, when I was a little kid growing up, I loved the Seattle Sonics. That was my team. And Phoenix was great back then. And we the Sonics, my team, we always struggled in Phoenix. So it's good to see them good again. The Warriors were great when I was a kid. Then they were lousy for 30 years. They're great again. So it's all coming full circle. If you really look at sports, the most comfortable team over the course of a game almost always wins. We talk about officiating, you know, this call and that call. We talk about rebounding. We talk about spacing. The most comfortable team wins. In the Super Bowl, Patrick Mahomes was uncomfortable. Tom Brady was more comfortable, and Tampa won. It wasn't that Brady played great. It was that Tampa's defense was great. The two tackles were missing for the Chiefs, and Mahomes was virtually uncomfortable for the entire game, 60 snaps. That was the game. You can talk about anything else. That was the game. Last night, Phoenix was really comfortable. Chris Paul, Devin Booker, and DeAndre Ayton did whatever they wanted to, and those are their three stars, and Milwaukee didn't make any of them uncomfortable. They went 28 for 50, 20 for 20 from the free throw line. That's the ball game. Real simple. You got to make one or two of them struggle. The Bucks needed to look in the mirror. Stop whining about free throw disparity. You made no coaching adjustments. Chris Paul in the pick and roll ate you alive. Giannis only took 11 shots, didn't make the Suns uncomfortable there. Phoenix was more aggressive. Phoenix set the tone. I always love when teams complain about the free throw disparity. You got to be aggressive to get to the free throw line, not jack up almost 40 threes, not have Giannis only take 11 shots. The Suns, by the way, took the second fewest free throws in the NBA this year and made the finals. If you're complaining that you didn't get enough free throws, look in the mirror. Milwaukee, you don't make them when you get them. The Suns were second fewest free throw shooting team in the league and second in free throw percentage. So they didn't shoot many of them. When they did, they make them. Milwaukee, you shot a lot more free throws. You were 23rd in the NBA in making them. Milwaukee essentially last night was Milwaukee. What are the two general themes we've talked about with the Bucks all playoffs? They kind of start slow. You know, they get they'll one or two games every series, they're totally flat. They don't come out with a ton of energy. Giannis had it. Nobody else did. And the second thing is they don't make a ton of coaching adjustments. They don't. And they didn't last night. That you saw what Milwaukee is, and you also saw what Phoenix is. Phoenix did this with the Lakers. They did it with the Nuggets, and they did it with the Clippers. They seize control first game of the series. They play kind of a relentless style possession to possession. I don't remember an NBA team, and maybe it's their youth, every single time down the floor, Phoenix plays with this urgency. Every basket matters. And it's probably the naivete of youth. Like, everything matters. This is a big spot. We got to play hard. And they do. They don't wait for the game to come to them. We saw it with the Mavs, or Lakers. We saw it with the Nuggets. We saw it with the Clippers. They get on top of the teams. And Milwaukee last night, they get on top of you, and now you're playing catch-up. Well, that's not what Milwaukee does. They're the Ravens of the NBA. They're not a great free-throw shooting team. Their best player's a liability late. Milwaukee's very good. We said this during the regular season. Milwaukee and the Baltimore Ravens play downhill. They get a lead on you, you're in big trouble. But trailing, They don't feel like the same team. And that's the reality of basketball. The Kansas City Chiefs and the Golden State Warriors in their prime. Lead, trailing, didn't matter. So explosive. Milwaukee's not that explosive. Baltimore throwing the football, not that explosive. So they have to play a certain way to win. And Phoenix doesn't allow you to play a certain way because they attack. They're fast. They're quick. They're urgent. They're relentless. I mean, everything went on script. If you had written a script and you'd say, yeah, Chris Paul will take over the game. He'll feel it out for the first half, come out in the third quarter, score 16 of his 32, and take total control of the tempo. And that's exactly what happened. And Milwaukee made no adjustments, never made them uncomfortable, threw up almost 40 threes, didn't create free throw opportunities because they didn't attack the basket enough. Giannis only had 11 shots. I mean, if I would have told you before the game, if I'd have just told you this, Chris Paul has 32 points, 9 assists, almost no turnovers, perfect from the free throw line, what do you think happened? You'd be like, well, you let Chris Paul do what Chris Paul does. You got to take him out of the game a little, make him a little uncomfortable. Even Mike Budenholzer admitted as much after the game.
He's a good player. You know, their pick and roll game is tough to guard. And, you know, so I think we just got to keep getting better. We'll look at the film, you know, see how we can maybe take away some of the rhythm, you know, to just take it where or make it where he's not getting to his spots as easily. You know, that'll be a big part of looking between game one and game two.
So Chris Paul isn't getting to his spot as easily. That was the game. Chris went where he wanted to go. If you let a quarterback drop back with time, roll left, roll right, play action, never uncomfortable, that's Brady in the Super Bowl. He's going to eat you alive. This is a Chris Paul first ballot Hall of Fame top 5 point guard. You can't let him do whatever he wants, and Milwaukee did. All right, so I didn't see a ton of the match yesterday. I did not. Probably getting a big workout in or something. I don't know. Anyway, it was Brady. It was Aaron Rodgers. I thought the winner, from what I did see, was the state of Montana. That was a 3-hour commercial for the Montana Chamber of Commerce. I got to imagine tens of thousands of people called a real estate agent or went to Zillow.com to look up real estate in Montana. The other winner was Aaron Rodgers putting. Good Lord, he's good at that. But ask yourself this. Wasn't it kind of jokey? I mean, wasn't it kind of like fun and chill? If Aaron Rodgers was going through a real divorce, you think all the guys would joke about it? Like, if you went golfing with your buddies and you were going through a divorce and it was imminent and everybody knew it, wouldn't you offer more sympathy than pokes in the ribs? When I watched this whole thing, first of all, we didn't get any grand announcement. Aaron's not going to make a grand announcement on a celebrity golf event that steals the thunder from the celebrity golf event. He's with his guys. He's with his buddies. So that's the first thing. The second thing is Aaron wears his feelings on his sleeve, and he was chill, laughing, relaxed. He's probably reveling in some of this. He's made a decision. He knows to some degree right now contractually he is trapped like Brady was 4 years ago in New England. So you just deal with the stuff that wears you out. You know, I said this earlier about Aaron Rodgers about a month ago, I think. Joy and I talked about this. In life, if you know you're kind of trapped in your job, you have a contract you can't get out, you have a boss you don't like, and you can complain about it and bang your head in the wall all day, or you can at some point come to terms with, well, I want to be happy. So I'm just gonna take a more casual approach. I can't solve every problem at my company. There's nothing I can do to get out of my contract. And that's the Aaron Rodgers I watched yesterday. It's like he's come to terms with it. He's going back to Green Bay. He probably, if this was serious and he was breaking up, don't you think he'd call Brady or Mickelson, DeChambeau, and say, guys, this is sensitive. This is kind of, can we just be cool about it? That's what you would do with your guys if you were going golfing and having a divorce. Guys, I'm exhausted. This is brutal. I can't take 4 hours of crap. Your guys would offer sympathy. Nobody was offering sympathy. They were just poking and poking and poking and poking and poking because Aaron was cool with it. I don't think Aaron's happy with the situation, but, I mean, Here was a big moment where he could have unveiled the truth.
Packers, Bears, any idea who's going to be there? Anybody who's going to be quarterbacking in the number 12 jersey?
Yeah, I don't know, B.A. We'll see.
How about September 12th then? How will you go for that one?
What's that one?
That would be the opener against the Saints.
Oh.
All cheesers rejoice.
Yeah, I don't know, B.A. We'll see.
I don't know. It looked too casual, too jokey, too fun. My feeling is anybody in life that knows they're kind of trapped, I mean, let's be honest, it isn't the worst problem in the world being a starting quarterback for Green Bay and making $35 million a year. Aaron could bang his head against the wall, but I think he's come to terms with it. I probably have a year left. I wanted to kind of sign off for the offseason, get this out of my head, take care of me mentally, play a lot of golf, go to Hawaii, let my hair grow. He looks happy to me. I think he's come to some resolution with himself that, listen, what am I going to do? Yell and scream all off season? I want to escape one more year in Green Bay and let Jordan have the team. That's what it feels like to me. The Herd today brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. Be a sub above. You know, we talked about this yesterday. This is really interesting. There's an old saying. All of you have heard this saying, you know, buy low, sell high. Like, we all know that, right? Doesn't matter if it's your real estate, your car, a stock, pigs get fed, hogs get slaughtered. There are times in life where you get a really good run on something, and you're like, it's probably time. You always want to do what Belichick did. Sell a little early, not a little late. You see this all the time in the NBA. We've talked about this. If there's a problem in the locker room, keep it quiet, resolve it, move on quickly. Phoenix is going to have a decision to make. Chris Paul's older. He wants 4 years. Last couple would be bad. Something came to me this morning thinking about the Suns next year and Chris Paul's future with the team. That coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Great to have you in. Discover Card, Canadians Lightning Game 5. My guest, Tampa Law, finishes off the Canadians tonight. Discover matches all the cash back you earn, credit card into your first year. No limits. Do it automatically. Discover.com/yes. So, you know, Chris Paul can smell blood in the water. Okay. You know, you've watched these boxing matches, even for like defensive fighters, like a Floyd Mayweather, and they can sense weakness. They sense the fatigue or the opening, and they go into attack mode, and they leave themselves a little vulnerable to get hit back. But you can sense the great fighters. It's all about you're sensing the weakness of your opponent, and then you attack quickly, get out. That's where Chris Paul is. Like, this is attack mode for Chris. Chris Paul, the distributor, last two games has become Chris Paul, the scorer. Last two games, 37, 36 points, 9 assists. He's gotten hyper-aggressive. And I think Chris Paul knows this, because Chris Paul knows Chris Paul better than all of us do. This is the perfect moment for Phoenix. It will not look just like this next year. Now, let me explain. It's a young team. They're hungry. They're listening. All right? They needed Chris. None of them have a title. None of them have big money. If the Suns win the title, you all get the temperature in the room changes. It's called the disease of more, Pat Riley. A little more credit, a little more money, a little more. It's very human. Go ask the Chicago Cubs. They won the championship with all these young players. The World Series title. Came back the next year. They were good. Everybody took a little more credit for it. That's my World Series. Everybody wanted a little more money. The Cubs were good. Didn't quite have that hunger. If Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton win a championship, you think they want to get barked at as much by Chris Paul? Chris wears out everybody. He's got a little Jim Harbaugh on him. It's good early. This football team needs Harbaugh. We need his guidance. We are young. He is tough on us. After about 3 years of Jim Harbaugh, you're like, all right, we won. You know, we won a Rose Bowl. We got to the Super Bowl. I'm tired of Jim Harbaugh yelling at me. That's Chris Paul's personality. The temperature in the room changes. And I mean, Anthony Davis won a title. The following year, he's not the same player. The idea that it should be the same Suns team, they won't be as young. They'll have more confidence. They'll have hit big shots. They'll have a ring. Everybody in Phoenix tell him all day, you the man. Now you're not quite as willing to every day get the bark from Chris. It's okay. So there's an argument to be made. Chris Paul is the president of the Players Association. He's not taking a pay cut. When Drew Brees was the president of the Players Association, he wasn't taking pay cuts. When he wasn't the president, I'll take a pay cut, right? So Chris isn't going to take a pay cut. Not saying he should. I'm saying he won't. A lot of guys in the NBA, there's a lot of Chris Bosh's, D-Wade's have said, he'll take a little less. Kevin Durant taking a little less. Chris isn't going to do that. Chris wants 4 years because he's 36 and he has a history of injuries. Same reason AD signed a 5-year deal with the Lakers. I've been hurt. I want my money. I would do the same thing. But there's an argument to be made. If Chris wants 4 and that's what he's going to demand, you sell the stock. Like, you won a championship. Our future is Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton and Mikal Bridges. That's the future. We'll always be able to supplement that with you know, the Jay Crowders of the world. Will. And I know everybody said, media always does this. You've got to let them run it back. No, you don't. No, you don't. You do not do that. What Tampa's doing in the NFL is almost unheard of, where everybody comes back. It's why I like the Chiefs to beat the Bucs this year. Tampa will not quite be as hungry. Young players got their money. That workout you cut short after an hour and a half, you don't go to 2. The disease of more, it's okay. It's real. We've seen the Cubs. I don't think the Buccaneers win the Super Bowl this year. I think the Chiefs do. Or Buffalo does. The workouts are longer. You stay longer for practice. And so I think there is an interesting time now. If Chris took 2 years, I'd sign him tomorrow. 3, I'd have a couple meetings. 4, I'd let him go. And I love Chris Paul. I'm Mr. Chris Paul guy. But there is an argument to be made. This is the perfect moment, and Chris totally understands. I'm a scorer now. Saw it against the Clippers. You see it against the Bucks. It's like, okay, I'm this far away now. I'm gonna take a few more shots now. I'm not letting anybody score. I'm gonna take a few more shots. Completely understandable. But you can ask the Cubs, and you go look back at these championship teams. This thing about you always gotta let them run it back. There are times when it all comes together and teams change. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
So the match was yesterday. Not quite the buzz that it had last year.
What was a crowded day?
It was a crowded day. We had literally no sports on last year. We were all watching it like it's like
right.
Sunday the Masters. Well, Tom Brady has cemented himself as the GOAT of football, but the debate over who is the greatest athletes across all sports continues. Charles Barkley was one of the commentators on the match yesterday and gave his opinion on the matter after Brady landed a nice shot on the green. He said he thinks Brady is the greatest athlete of all time, not just the greatest football player. Now, we've talked about this a lot, and I was actually thinking about this morning about what and how we find, like, we're never going to really find a common ground on this. But right. I think, like, when you have the conversation of who's the greatest athlete of all time,
yeah.
We have to decide what the criteria for that is. Like, and I mean, what do we all agree on? Nothing. But are football players the best athletes of sports?
Is he in the running for greatest team sport athlete of all time?
I think team sport is an important qualifier.
Yes, it is.
And then, you know, one of the knocks on Brady has always been that he's not actually that athletic. Now, I think that's wildly unfair and exaggerated.
Well, he was drafted by a Major League Baseball team in high school, so he's pretty athletic.
Well, everyone points to his, you know, his draft picture
and his
combine. And, you know, I would argue also that, you know, you can develop a little bit. But that's, you know, that's what's thrown out there when we're talking about how athletic he actually is. We'll probably never agree on what the criteria for this is. I think it's fair to say he is the greatest the greatest team athlete. But then, you know, you have Jordan, who never lost in the finals. Like, you know, the conversation is really never going to be agreed on. I think it's all just a matter of preference.
Well, the other thing is, like, greatest athlete. Like, if I said to you, greatest house in America, a lot of it would be, where is it located? Do I get a water and a sunset view? Do I have a big kitchen? Do I have some space for my animals? The greatest house isn't just, it's the biggest.
Right.
It's the No, no, there's a lot of things you contextualize for. Like, the greatest car isn't the fastest. I remember years ago when I was dumb, well, I still am, but I was in my 20s, I test drove a Porsche. And I'm like, I'm 6'2", and it's got no air conditioning. Everybody's like, oh, I got a Porsche. I finally made money, and I'm like, I'm totally uncomfortable. I live in Vegas, and it has no air conditioning. This is a bad car. And so I bought, you know, your typical mid-sized car that had great air conditioning, and I had space to put, you know, kids or whatever. The whole point being is greatest athlete. Do we count leadership? Do we count your ability to inspire others?
And it can't be who has the most championships. Well, I guess in football he does, but certainly not in team sports.
Well, we always talk about Jordan. Bill Russell has 11 championships. Right. He won 11 in 13 years. The 2 years he didn't win, he was hurt. Or Bill Russell would have won 13 straight championships.
Exactly.
And Bill scored 19 a game. Best rebounder, best defender, a man's man. He would lead. Nobody screwed around with Bill Russell. And I was listening to an old NBA coach talk about him yesterday, and he's like, does everybody understand when Bill was healthy, the Celtics won every championship, and Bill was so much beyond just the skyhook, flaky Wilt and his dunks. So what are we calling great here? Great, like Chris Paul's great. Part of it is he makes everybody on the floor better. Everybody. He had over 100 assists to three different Suns players.
And
this year
can't even be the qualifier, because LeBron, I think, is the ultimate make everybody better guy. And he has championships and Chris Paul doesn't.
He's probably the greatest athlete. But if you said who's the best athlete, LeBron absolutely could have been a star in the NFL. No question. Star in the NBA.
But then, like, what is athleticism? Is a gymnast more athletic than a football player? Like, some may argue, yes. It requires more skill and body control and, like, core power, just because, like, they might be smaller. So it really is just an absolute matter of preference. And then I actually think, like, that boxers and fighters should be considered some of the best athletes, because you're doing all of this while also getting hit. I don't know.
How about the people, the heptathlon? What do you call that thing in the Olympics where you have to do pole vaulting, long jumping, sprinting distance?
Yeah.
That to me, I can do everything. That's essentially the world's greatest.
And then you win that, so you're like the best at doing everything.
Wasn't that what
Bruce Jenner won? Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, he was the best athlete. He could do everything.
It's totally a matter of preference. But I think we can all agree he's the best quarterback of all time. So at least we can agree on that, since we agree on nothing else. So Giannis missed two games after hyperextending his knee and was questionable heading into game one of the finals. He was able to play and put up 20 points with 17 rebounds and 4 assists. But he said he thought his season was over when the injury happened.
You know, when I went down, I thought I'm going to be out for a year. I thought I'm going. I'm just happy that I'm out there, you know, and I'm able to, you know, help my teammate in any way possible and participate in NBA Finals, my first NBA Finals.
I thought it was great.
Yeah, I thought he looked good. I mean, obviously he's not 100%,
right,
but I thought he looked like he was. So if he's in pain, he's certainly hiding it well, and he's playing well enough. We're showing the block that he had last night, which was
so long.
Amazing. I mean, I'm glad he was able to play. Like, that's the number one thing. I was very nervous about them kind of rushing him back, obviously, because it is the finals, and he, I'm sure, wants to be out there, as he mentions. But we've seen what happens when players say they're okay so they can get out there, and then they do end up having what he mentioned, which is you're done for the year.
DeAndre Ayton has been the longest guy on the floor his entire life until last night.
Giannis feels like he is like, you didn't see Space Jam, but in Space Jam, Michael Jordan just stretches.
Yeah,
it's just half court just to dunk. He just has
type,
like an extra couple inches. FoxBet has the Suns favored by 5 in game 2.
Yeah.
Also hit the over last night, 223 points. They added at 219.5. And the over for game 2 is 221, which I'm going to guess they're going to hit also. I like the Suns in game 2. I do feel like the Bucks will play with a little, not that they weren't urgent yesterday, but they did feel like there's like some unnecessary turnovers and just they weren't fully at the same speed that the Suns are, which is obviously tough. They play fast, but I expected that a little more urgency in game 2. So wide receiver N'Keal Harry has requested a trade from the Patriots. He was drafted in the first round by the Patriots in 2019, but hasn't lived up to those first round expectations. In his 2 seasons, regular and postseason, he's only had 47 catches for 435 yards and 4 touchdowns. They have invested more in the wide receiver position this year, Nelson Agholor and Kendrick Bourne. So he may not even make the 53-man roster. So,
well, yeah, I mean, he's better than he's shown with New England, but he doesn't separate, so he needs the right system to scheme him open. If you put him with the 49ers, for instance, he could be a nice three. I thought he was going to be a better pro. He just can't separate from people.
Or he could go to the Chiefs, and the Chiefs seem to figure out a place for everybody. Yeah. If you go to a place where there's, you know, a really creative offense, then he he'll have an opportunity to be better there. He's not. He's the only wide receiver that the Patriots have taken in the first round in the Belichick era. So, I mean, we know what they've done in the draft the past couple of years. I don't think he's necessarily a bust. Where you're drafted generally determines what your expectations are.
If he goes somewhere else, again, to the right system, he could be a nice 2-3 receiver. I just think New England doesn't. It's not a good fit. We see it all the time with quarterbacks. Not a good fit. This isn't a good fit for him. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Nick Wright now joining us. My buddy, First Things First, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. So let's talk about the Suns winning game one. Should the Bucks feel demoralized, or should the Bucks feel like that wasn't bad, all things considered? Where do they land today?
Yeah, all things considered, I think Milwaukee's got to feel about as good as a team can feel being down 0-1, and there's a number of reasons. First one is Milwaukee's been here before. First series of the playoffs when they annihilated the Heat, the one game they almost lost was game one. They needed overtime to beat them. Game one against Brooklyn, they lost. Game one against in the conference finals against the Hawks, they lost. And so they have been here before. Also, last night, and I'm not blaming the officials, but that whistle absolutely benefited the Suns in a way I don't think it will throughout the rest of the postseason. It's not only that the Suns shot 26 free throws, it's that Milwaukee, aside from Giannis, it was Drew Holiday got one shooting foul, Brooke Lopez got one shooting foul, and that was it. So that will even out. But the biggest reason they should feel good is this. There was real trepidation about whether or not Giannis would be back at all. I think most people thought the earliest he would be back was game three. And not only was he back, he looked like about 90% of himself, Colin. I don't know how it's possible that we all saw him suffer that injury.
Yeah.
Giannis is not the only one who thought he was out for the year. Everyone thought he was out for the year. And for him to be doing that a week later, after having his knee go the wrong way, and for the Bucks, it's like, hey, Giannis played 35 minutes. In those 35 minutes, Milwaukee outscored Phoenix. The 13 minutes he sat, they got annihilated. So I think this is a long series, and I think that if Giannis continues to ramp up, and keep in mind, there's 2 days between games 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, that I think that works in their favor. I think Milwaukee should feel pretty good and pretty confident despite being down 0-1.
Companies would rather pay you big money for what you will do going forward, not for what you did, right? To make sense. If Chris Paul said, I'm going to take 4 years or not, I'm out. I think there's an argument to be made that you just say, we won, we're still going to be viable, but he's not the future at 36. It's a really interesting debate. There are moments in time where you think, oh, you got to run it back, and I'm like, not if 4 years is what's demanded, right?
Yeah, but I think he'll end up getting 3 years, $100 million. And even though the owner of the Phoenix Suns has been notorious for, let's call it, his thriftiness over the years, Robert Sarver, I think he'll cut that check. If you remember, during the Nash era, the Suns weren't trading first-round picks to get talent. They were selling first-round picks for cash. Like, when they could win a title, it's like, no, give me $2 million for the 27th pick of the draft. So there is the Robert Sarver factor. But the other thing is this. If you're Chris, after finally tasting the highest level of success, do you really want to go to the Knicks? Like, is that something you really want to do? Now, Miami, Joy Taylor's ears perk up. Miami could make sense, and Miami, I think, is like a borderline possibility, but I do think they ultimately run it back unless ownership there is, you know, just says won the title, who cares? And I don't think Chris is going to demand the max, but it is kind of remarkable, Colin, that we're talking about what Chris Paul's next contract is going to be when the owner of the Rockets, Tillman Fertitta, bought the team and reportedly said that Chris Paul's contract is the worst he has ever seen in business or sports. He's now, Chris is going to opt out of it at the end of it for more money.
You know, it's interesting. If the Bucks lose this finals, they still probably, at this moment, would be the favorite to get to the finals in the East. If the Suns win the finals, would they necessarily be the favorite to win the West? It just shows you the difference between the West and the East. Like, I don't think the Suns would be favored next year, would they?
No. And listen, that might not be fair to them. To give the Suns credit, now that we have, like, you know, the benefit of hindsight, we can look at the teams that were the top contenders throughout the year, and the two that are left standing were the two with the least red flags.
Right.
So, like, Utah's red flag was they're Utah. We've seen them in the playoffs. We know it doesn't work. The Lakers' red flag was health. The Clippers' red flag was a bit of health and a bit of is last year's end going to bite them? That ended up not being the case. Health got them. In the East, Philly couldn't close quarters and couldn't close games. That ended up killing them. And with Brooklyn, it was, are these three ever going to be on the court together? That ended up killing them. Milwaukee and Phoenix, top 10 offense, top 10 defense, relatively healthy throughout the year, just kind of handled their business. So I do want to give Phoenix credit. With that said, I do think folks will say, okay, they played the Lakers three games when the Lakers were healthy-ish. Not even fully healthy because LeBron clearly wasn't right. And they lost two of those three. Yeah. Then Anthony Davis went down. Obviously, in the conference finals, they go against a team without Kawhi. And then we thought in the finals they were going to go against the Bucks without Giannis, but now he's there. Now, they deserve a ton of credit, and they have an excellent roster. They drafted well. Cam Johnson's an unsung guy. Mikal Bridges has been great for them. Obviously, Ayton has ascended massively, and Booker's a legitimate star. But the other reason that they wouldn't be the favorites is Chris Paul, the reason he hasn't had massive playoff success has not been because of, you know, meltdowns or chokes, aside from the one game against OKC in 2015. It's because little guys' bodies break down, and he's been very fortunate that his body has not broken down this year. He had the scare against the Lakers, but aside from that, it's been clean. So, yeah, I don't think they'd be the favorites, but they've got to be at least considered one of those top-tier contenders.
By the way, did you watch the match at all? I just saw bits and pieces of it. Why Aaron Rodgers can putt. Did you make anything of the comments?
Yeah. I thought your point was really interesting. And full disclosure, I've only seen the clips of it. I thought it was odd for it to go up against the NBA Finals with, by the way, Barkley involved. It's like, the people that love Barkley, aren't they watching basketball? The whole thing was odd. But to set that aside, I thought your points were interesting, which is if you thought, I use the term divorce, if you thought my wife and I were actually like in real trouble, you wouldn't be joking about it with me.
Right.
You would talk to me about it privately. And so the fact that it was in a kind of wink and a nod,
yes,
makes it feel like Aaron knows that he's played his cards and it didn't come out his way. Or he knows, and I don't even know if that's the right way to put it. It almost feels like Aaron knows I could have played a stronger hand, but I didn't want to go nuclear on.
Right.
So I made it clear I was a little unhappy. At the very least, I've made Packer fans know that I expect this to be my last year, maybe have a bit of a unspoken farewell. But I no longer think that it's likely at all, Colin, that Aaron is not going to be the Packers quarterback in week one, even though he was cagey about it last night when he was asked about it.
All right, Nick, well-appointed, well-dressed as always. You look happy and healthy, my friend, and we will talk soon. Thanks, buddy.
Absolutely. Great to see you guys.
Nick Wright. I got a stack of things to talk about today.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Merriman, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Merriman. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it, on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, the Lights Out podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who's ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
Spa-like comfort, tanklessmadesimple.com, tanklessmadesimple.com. Look up Navien tankless water heaters, 15-year limited warranty. Save money, save space. So, you know, from time to time, Joy and I'm sure I don't want to speak for Joy, but I'll go speak to a college campus or a high school group. You know, you go somewhere a couple times a year, and, you know, you always get, you know, asked for advice on this stuff. And I always say, I don't really have advice because my life's not yours. What worked for me may not work for you, but I do have an opinion. And my opinion's always been the same thing. If you're pretty smart and totally committed, you'll break through. Years ago, when I was a little kid, I wanted to be a baseball announcer. I wanted to be Vin Scully or Bob Costas. And I went to the Seattle Mariners, the Kingdom, the old Kingdom. Eventually, the ceiling tiles were falling on people, but the Kingdom. And they had an announcer named Dave Niehaus. He was a legend in Seattle, probably the biggest, you know, sportscaster of my life in my city, Dave Niehaus, beloved. And I got up to the booth. I was a college kid, and I was all nervous. And he grabbed, I've never asked for an autograph in my life. I don't think I've ever asked for one since then. And I said, could you just write something down for me on the picture of Dave Niehaus in the media guide? And it always stuck with me. He wrote with a felt pen, if you want it bad enough, you will sit here one day. Always stuck with me. Kid from divorce, didn't have any money. How badly do you want it? If you're pretty smart and fully committed, you will break through. If you don't, you weren't as smart as you thought or as committed as you should have been. And I thought about this. If Chris Paul wins this title, and I think he will, these players in the last 20 years will have won a title. Steph, KD, LeBron, AD, Kawhi, Chris Paul, Dirk, D-Wade, Kobe, Shaq, Duncan, KG. That's the 12 best players. I don't want to hear about Harden and Melo. Never as committed in the offseason. Often played their way in shape. Not committed on the defensive end. Not as coachable. Westbrook. Totally erratic. That he's not one of the 12 best players last 20 years. What about Iverson? Again, didn't practice. Stories are legendary. They used to put a chair out at Sixers practice with his jersey on it. If he showed up, he had it. But a lot of times he didn't show up. I'm talking about the things that matter. Talent, committed, leadership, both ends of the floor, call teammates in the offseason, come into the season in shape. Last 20 years, Steph, KD, LeBron, AD, Kawhi, CP3, Dirk, D-Wade, Kobe, Shaq, Duncan, KG, who I leave out. I'm not saying Iverson and Harden and Westbrook and Melo, Dame, but they're, and I'm not saying Dame won't win one. But there's also something to think about. Do you have an ego? You have to have the ego for the confidence to work through your critics, but it can't be too big of an ego. I thought Carmelo's ego sometimes, it should have been closer to D Wade's ego. D Wade had an ego, has to, but it wasn't too big that he couldn't go, hey Shaq, hey LeBron, come on down to Aqua Water. I need help. You also have to have a certain belief that they always say about L.A. People that live in L.A. thought they were too good for their hometown. You have to be a dreamer. So LeBron's like, hey, I got to be mobile. Cleveland's not good enough. He was right. And KD's like, I can't win with Westbrook. I got to be more mobile. He was right. So maybe that's Dame's sticking point. Dame's too loyal. That's part of that total commitment. It's your off season. Can you look at the room and go, hey, I'm doing my part. They're not. I got to leave. There's a lot of things that are about that commitment. It is, do you come in shape, ready to play? Are you willing to bark occasionally at teammates? Are you willing to make people uncomfortable and be a leader? LeBron is, and Chris Paul is, and it's hard. And so, I mean, I when I look at Chris Paul, he's a great example. He's had bad owners, bad situations, faced Katrina, a tanking team. You'll break through. In my life in this business, everybody, man and woman, you're smart enough, not to be a genius. We're not asking, this is not Elon Musk territory. Are you smart enough and are you fully committed? you'll break through. And so that's why I think the Chris Paul story is great. Not the tallest, not the most vertical, but when you add all the components of what it takes to be truly great, and sometimes it's making teammates uncomfortable. Doc Rivers told me, it's like, Chris is hard to coach. It's worth it, but he's hard to coach. He is sure he's always right. And Doc's like, and I think I'm always right. So, you know, but that's why I think the story is fun. It's a story of perseverance. And I think that's always something to wrap your arms around. Hour two in LA. Next.